I was talking to Karen Locker the other day from Solutions for E-Commerce. We all know she's a sponsor of my show. She pays me. I don't want to hide that, right? The other thing she reminded me, though, is that if you sign up for her service through my link, you get $50 off, right? You knew that. I forgot that she offers an inventory health assessment. I'm like, Karen, I probably should be talking about that. That valuable service, she's going to take a look through your inventory and help you figure it out. They're going to take care of your suppressed listings. You're tired of having stranded inventory? Is inventory getting lost? When's the last time you looked at your shipments to get them reconciled? How about refunds? Has that happened? Well, Karen takes care of all that for me. She's been doing it for almost 2 years. I pay the same rate you do, but I'm very, very pleased with the service. And two guys, two well-known guys in the area, reach out to me saying, hey, you've been with her. Are you satisfied? I'm perfectly satisfied. And again, I can message her. I get the services I need. So it's Solutions for E-Commerce. The only way you're going to get that deal is using my code Momentum. I have a link on my website. You have to go there. If you're thinking about outsourcing that piece of your business, get your inventory looked at.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 215, Adam Black. You know, I love the conversation with Adam because it went to places I didn't know. First off, I had no clue how many channels he sells on. You will be blown away. Also, I didn't realize how long he's been selling. So it really made for a great, background interview. And I really appreciate that. Let's get into the podcast. Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. And I'm very excited about today's guest. I have seen this gentleman over the last couple of years in many, many, many different states. He travels extensively, as I do. And I think it's to invest in himself. Is that fair?
That's definitely fair.
Okay. Well, I just want to, I'm excited to have Adam Black today. Welcome, Adam.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time. You're a busy guy. We were just having a conversation about the tractor trailer loads of goods that you're dealing with. You are a scale seller. On how many channels do you sell on?
Gosh, I have them listed here, but I can't even count. One, two, three, four. Probably about 17. Yeah.
Okay, so... Wow. All right. We're going to name them because I can name about 11 real channels that really people sell on, maybe 12. Man, 17. And you know, it's funny when we just saw each other, I guess it was a Resonate conference down in Atlanta. Jeff,
we saw at Rocky Mountain.
Oh, we did too. In Rocky Mountain too. Yeah. I guess I've been traveling. Like I said, I've been traveling extensively, but when we were at Resonate, the Seller Labs conference, it was a lot of large sellers like yourself and a lot of multi-channel sellers. So the other gentleman that I was talking with, he had 16 channels he was selling on, and I was blown away with that, but you've got to top him with one more. I love it. Love it. Love it. Dude, you're rocking it. Now, let me ask you this question. How old are you, Adam?
I'm 37.
You're 37 years old, selling millions of dollars on 17 different channels. You've got a large warehouse. You've got a, how big is the team?
Right now we have five, including myself. And then I have managing partners in three different international markets. And then I have, I guess that you count them as my employees, but with my five largest wholesalers, I have dedicated employees for my Merchant Fulfilled Prime, and so they're dedicated to me, and of course I pay for that.
And then you have VAs too, I'm assuming.
To be honest with you, I have I'm not really a VA guy.
Okay.
I need to get into that, but that's something that I have I haven't had the necessity for them at this point in time.
Well, where I'm going with this is that you've built this very large company. I mean, it's a very large company, and you're 37 years old, too. I mean, has that sunk in? I mean, when you sit back and you think about what you were going to do as a kid, has it sunk in that you've been able to build up this to this level successfully? And I'm sure it's not perfect and everything, you know, is challenging.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm serious. I mean, have you sat back and just thought about, because as you know, that little shoe store downtown in the town that you're located, you know, they're selling $100,000 or $200,000. I mean, that's what they do. And they got a brick and mortar and they're trying to make it. Or the guy in the mall, you know, even a McDonald's only sells $1 million or something like that. You know, most McDonald's and the owner makes $100,000. Has that sunk in for you?
You know, I do other stuff just other than e-commerce. So it's one of those things to where I've always been a merchant. I mean, I've been doing this since I was essentially 14 years old. So I don't really know. It's my focus and drive or what have compelled me to get here.
So you don't know of any other way. This is it.
I don't. Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, it's one of those things to where once I saw the opportunity, I just haven't stopped. And you know, the crazy thing about it is I kind of felt like with other businesses going here and other businesses going there, for the past few years, I've sold two of the companies have found myself wanting to actually scale back a lot of what I do because I want to spend more time obtaining the freedom that I've worked so hard to grasp.
Right now you're not location independent. In some ways you are, right? In some ways you're not.
Yeah. In a lot of ways I am. But at the same time, if I felt so compelled, I could, manufacture, doing the same thing from pretty much anywhere. In the world, even.
Do you think that the place would run as well with, I mean, are you an operator when you look at your warehouse there?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
So you're an operator.
I'm rebuilding my team. I have the people in place. That's one thing right now that I'm focusing on, building a management team so I can be hands off. That's going good right now.
It's going good. Well, wait. I'm not going to let you get past that because I know somebody out there saying, "Steve, stop that man. He's doing it. I want to hear how he's doing it." So let's, if you would, I mean, I don't want your secret sauce again, you know, but let's talk about how do you go about that? Because A, are you a control freak like me?
Absolutely.
Okay. So you're a control freak. So how does a control freak even get into the headspace to be able to say, "I've got to give up some control"? Because that's hard, Adam.
It is. What I've done is I used to hire people that I would find that were hustlers like me, that just had it in their bones. And
hustlers meaning that they were entrepreneurial?
Yeah, that they're willing to do whatever it takes to make it happen.
Okay.
That they have just never been given the opportunity to go after something.
Due to maybe circumstances, financial, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. They were in, you know, and you know, either the service industry or a store I'd walk into or anything like that. I mean, I always try to hire the competition. I know that sounds crazy, but I always want to have somebody that has the drive inside of them because that makes them more detail oriented. It makes them focus more. And with me being able to train and mold them, they're able to go and be successful on their own. Hmm. And that's something I don't mind doing. Because it creates more of a network for me. I have six people that are, some of them are doing a couple of million a year. And, you know, these are guys that nobody would have ever thought that they would, you know, be at that level. And, you know, that makes me very proud. And it's something that I take very dear to my heart.
How do you identify? So, you know, Andy and I were in, where were we? We were in Dayton, Ohio. Excuse me. We were in Dayton, Ohio, and we went to a restaurant, and the server was unbelievable. I mean, you could just see she went above and beyond in every possible way. She answered questions before we, I mean, she already had it figured out. She hustled the whole time. We watched, and we ended up with a conversation with her, and she's a single mom, and her biggest goal in that area, because that's the opportunity, was to work at Aldi for $12 an hour because it offered benefits for her and her kid.
Exactly.
And so we saw that. And so, you know, Andy's working with her, trying to help her get started in private label. We recognize that. But it's different to recognize that and then bring them in as an operator, an operations manager, because that skill set, I would think, is different than the skill set it takes to go out and buy or source wholesale or source, you know, private label or whatever it is that you have them doing. Are you looking for the same thing when you're looking at that operations team?
Not necessarily. I answered your question in my old answer instead of my new answer.
Oh, ouch. Wait, I want the new Adam Black. I mean, that's a merch shirt. The new Adam Black.
Yeah, it's a one that would sell to no one.
maybe your mom.
But yeah, exactly. She doesn't use Amazon. She just calls me to use it for her. but it's one of those things now to where I've found, I hate to use the term, but it's exactly what it is. I've hired smarter. Right now I have two guys that are in doctorate programs at Georgia Tech, and they basically are going to be with me just for a bit of time because of their, obviously, their career goals. However, what I've given them the opportunity to do is make more money than they probably could in any part-time position by, and they've come in and they've focused my efforts by, it's amazing what I've been able to accomplish in a small time with them beside me.
So they have a skill set that they're learning in college, right? And they have discipline. You don't make it to that level in college unless you are disciplined and focused, right? And so they're bringing that to your business. Are you saying that you weren't? I mean, be honest. You weren't disciplined like what they're helping you get to?
No, not at all. I mean, like I tell everybody, my focus and discipline when it comes to business are, I mean, I've had plenty of people that I tried to bring on to be prep help and stuff like that, but they've left because I believe they said they call me a force of nature. I set the pace and set the level of service so high in what I do that it's hard to find people that are willing to work at that level.
So, but if you're clear with the expectation, I mean, I don't think it's unreasonable that you set a very high expectation because you're doing it yourself. And you're fair to people and say, hey, you have to attain this or it's not going to work. I don't think that's unfair, but it's hard.
Yeah, it's not at all. I mean, with my my valet parking company that I had, I built that up to 250 employees and 70 accounts across the Southeast. And every single person that was there understood my level of service. I would come out to any of the parking lots or any of the locations, and I would work harder than any one of them. And that's the thing. If people knew that I was coming, they knew they were going to work harder that day. And you have to lead by example. You can't lead by telling someone what they have to do. You have to show them. Yeah. You have to set the pace as a leader.
Yeah, you demonstrate. So these guys come in. They're hustlers because they're in the PhD program, right? I mean, that's a big deal. And what skill sets specifically have they helped address? And I mean, because if you're a wild man, and you're all over the place, that's bad. I mean, is it discipline that they brought you, or what is it?
You know, definitely they've brought a level of organization and systems that, you know, it's I've heard plenty of people say this on your podcast before because I listen to it all the time, that it's you when you listen to the people around you, sometimes you hear a solution that you never would have come out with on your own.
And they don't have to be the PhDs coming out with the solution. Sometimes it's the guy pushing the broom, right? Yeah. I mean, it's somebody who's not as close to it as you are, right? Because that's the challenge, I think, is when you're as close to it as you are, or I am, it's hard to see some stuff, right?
You get blinded by your goals.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I tell people all the time, my wife is, I married her for plenty of reasons, but she's one of the smartest people I've ever met. And she cannot even see the what's going on. And she's made more adjustments in my procedural way that I deal in business than almost anyone. And she doesn't even see it. She
give
just
me an
hears
example.
Me talk about it.
Just give me an example.
Just basically how I manage communication between myself and the people that do my Merchant Fulfilled Prime, the way that I set goals and rewards for people. I'm a big believer in giving someone a performance bonus. I'll give you a base pay, and then if we meet certain goals, you're gonna get this bonus
because you were rewarded, right? Because you set the goal, you achieved it. And so you're sharing that.
I share more than probably anybody would imagine. And it's the reason I do that is because that's what incentivizes people not only to perform well, but also to stay because they're happy. No one wants to feel like there's one guy making all the money off their back.
Turnover costs an enormous amount of money in a business. I mean, that institutional knowledge when someone leaves that they've gained over time, man, you lose that and it hurts, right? You feel it for a while.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you never know. And this is for me running businesses for, you know, a few decades now. You never realize how much someone means until they're gone. And the one thing you have to understand is, you know, like for me, I have a high level of morale with people that work with me because I'm positive. If somebody makes a mistake, so what? We'll fix it. You know, it's I don't bear down on people, but people understand my expectations from day one.
So they're and probably more about disappointing you. That's probably fair.
Yeah, yeah, I would say that's fair. I mean, I actually never even thought about it that way, but it is. I mean, you know, the people that are around me, they know that, number one, if I get upset, it's not at them, it's at the situation. Mm-hmm. But I've been spending a lot of time on myself and understanding my emotions and realizing that, you know, if I don't have any control over that, so what? We'll figure out a way to fix it. I mean, it's like I tell people all the time, every company has issues. What really defines a company is how you handle those issues when they arise.
Well, you say you're working on yourself. How are you working on yourself?
Oh man, that's I didn't know I was going to go there.
Well, you know what? It's a loaded question, but it's true because I think what you're saying is fair. You know, we're back to Gary Vee's self-awareness, right? Knowing yourself and then knowing what your shortcomings are, because we all have them, as do all companies, and then addressing them. But specifically, how are you?
Gary Vee is my hero, by the way. I just love that guy.
That dude's smart. Smart dude.
I know, given the opportunity, we would be close friends. We both love to curse and
look
at life differently than other people. No, I won't.
He does. He does have a mouth on. He's a salty guy. Yeah. But boy, I must admit, and I tell the story, true, I was with him for those 3 hours. He held me on the edge of my seat, and I sat there saying, oh, my God. He really does know what he's talking. I mean, it really, for 3 hours, I sat there saying, I can't believe he just said that. Wow. It was like a clouds opening, you know? And then he cursed and dropped the Clinton name, and that was it. You know, but anyway.
I was actually on the phone with someone, a friend of mine recently, and he said, hey, man, I got to let you go. Gary Vee's calling me. And I was like,
oh, wow.
I'm friends with somebody that knows Gary Vee.
Whoa.
I was like, that's amazing.
Very cool.
But I was like, just send me a cell phone number. And apparently that didn't happen yet. So, but you know, it's going back to what you ask. You know, I've recently, like I said, I've been scaling back my business in the sense to where I don't want it to be just me. I don't want to be, I don't want to have a personal driven business. I want to have a dynamic business that has a management team in place that can handle things. If I have to handle every single problem and every single issue on our scale, I'll burn out. It's that's the
well.
God's
you might get
truth.
Sick. You might die. Right. I mean, this stuff is puts a lot of responsibility.
Bus, right.
I mean, this hurts. This stuff. Right.
Yeah. It's. I mean, and for me, my stress level is something that I try to manage now. Something before I was like, stress is for other people. You know, I grew up. Doing martial arts and being a competitive fighter. And for me, it's like I look at competition, I look at stress, I look at everything as I always say there's no such thing as hard. There's only different issues that have more complexity, and you just have to work harder to find solutions to those problems. You know, but it's with me, I've started doing meditation. I've started just reading. I read more than probably anybody could ever imagine.
Well, wait, I want to pull you back. Let's just take these one by one, because I think this is a very important, I mean, you know, I'm interrupting, I'm sorry, but it's very important, because I think this is serious. You're working on your mental space. So I'm doing Headspace now. Have you, what are you using for meditation?
Well, I actually go to a Buddhist meditation sanctuary.
Oh, whoa. All right. So you're really in. Do you go every day, or how often do you go?
I have been going every day recently.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things to where I'm taking my enlightenment is what I really I'm trying to realize that I don't need to be so competitive. I don't need to be so aggressive. And I want to be more understanding of not only myself, my emotions, but other situations that might in the past have been things that would cause me too much stress and lead me to just kind of, you know,
were you a jerk? Were you a jerk sometimes?
Not really a jerk, but I would rather just say see you later or goodbye. I'd rather just walk away from a situation and dissolve the relationship or dissolve the situation itself, because I don't have time for drama. I don't have, you know, it's like if something is if something doesn't hit that level of service as I talked about, or that level of importance, I dismiss it. And I feel like I've probably cost myself a lot of money and cost myself a lot of long-term relationships because of that type of like I tell people, I'm 37 now, but most of my life I had the problem of always thinking I was right.
So let's just say this then. Then sometimes those problems you caused.
I'm
saying it to blame you. I'm saying it's Steve too, because this is me too. Yeah. And so I'm in the same boat, is that I've caused the problems in those relationships. Not all of them.
I can honestly say that I'm probably 60-40, okay, and me being the 60 in a lot of the cases.
And that's hard to admit. I mean, it is hard to admit. I mean, I don't like it. I don't like that part of myself, and I work on myself too. So let's just stay on the Buddhist thing. So you're going there. How long do you spend there?
You know, I generally spend about an hour a day.
Okay. Wow.
If not more. It's one of those things to where I'm learning how to do it. So it's a lot of I can't say that I'm enlightened and can do everything. It's still kind of awkward for me, in a sense to where I can achieve certain levels, but I want to be able to go fully deep.
Okay.
It's my quest.
Okay. So this is something you're working towards because you're working on your head and you're working on I want to love everyone and I want everyone to love me, and it's awful because they won't. and it's awful because I won't, you know, and it hurts, you know, and I don't like it. So I keep working on it. I'm like, I still believe it's me. And so I'm trying to work on it. So, all right. So that's cool. And so that's a big commitment, dude. I mean, have you put like a timeline to it, saying I'm going to do it for, you know, 2 months, a month, or 60 days?
Oh, no, it's I plan on doing this for the rest of my life.
Whoa. Yeah. Okay. So you're working on your mind. Are you working on your health?
I've lost almost 60 pounds in a year doing CrossFit.
That's more than half a Backstreet Boy.
Exactly.
That's a lot of weight. 60 pounds CrossFit. Yeah. How often do you do CrossFit?
I do it 3 to 4 times a week.
Oh, my God. I don't even driving by one of those places 3 to 4 days a week. That's a brutal workout. I've done it with Andy. It's a brutal workout.
I don't understand why I pay them to punish me. you know, it's one of those things now to where, like I said, I grew up in martial arts and was always a competitive athlete. And once I kind of got out of college, I just kind of said, you know what, I've been training my entire life. Now it's time to go have fun. And when I was in the movie industry and working 90 hours a week, plus running this, plus other business endeavors, there's craft services all over the place on movie sets, plus just with the hours itself, I just started eating like garbage. So once I sold my movie prop company, I decided that, you know, it's time to, I'm 37, I have small children, and it's time for me to take care of myself so I can be there for them.
So you're also working, so you got the exercise piece down, you're working on your diet. What kind of diet have you switched?
My wife is actually a health coach. So,
oh, that helps.
We're doing a keto diet, okay, as well as just smart, fresh options. It's one of those things, instead of, we mainly only make fresh prepared meals, nothing frozen, nothing processed.
Did you have to go to your wife and say, honey, you've been right all along. I need your help. You're a health coach, and I'm not taking advantage of that.
You know, we both kind of made the decision together, and she is she's only become a health coach probably in the past 6 months.
Okay. So she's new at it.
Yeah. She's a quick study, and just she found that with her you know, her mission in life. She found so many people contacting her through Facebook and things like that, that she went and took courses and everything involved so she could give knowledgeable information to people to help them. And it's grown bigger than she probably wants it to at this point, but she's dedicated to helping others.
Well, I want to finish with this segment with this is relationships. So you're investing in your mind to help you be a little more understanding, as you said, right? What else are you doing to invest in relationships? Because I think that's one of the biggest challenges that most people have: communication through relationships, one way or another, right? What else are you doing to work on that?
Well, you know, basically, you know, I've only been in the like the I call it the public eye of Amazon sellers for actually last year. The Rocky Mountain Reseller Conference was my first time going to anything like that.
Why?
I'm kind of a I'm a private person. I'm kind of I've always viewed other Amazon sellers as competitors. And like I said, I grew up being competitive. And luckily, my good friend Ry Rice and actually Andy Slammons, I took his course in January, 2016? Mm-hmm. And, you know, just the way Andy was and the way that he just kind of everybody in the group, Nathan Slammons, everybody that I was meeting, I was like, God, these guys are awesome.
Right. They don't have a hidden agenda, right? They charged you for the course, right? Yeah. You knew what you were paying. Yeah. Did they deliver value for the course?
I've been doing private label for a lot longer than even that, but it was one of those things to where, you know, I knew Ryan and Andy had a relationship, and she was telling me how awesome he was. So I just said, you know what, let's take it, see what it has. And I mean, yes, it's between Andy, Maggie, Nathan, and then just everybody in the group that they have just compelled me to say, hey, let's go see what's out there. Once I went through, went to Rocky Mountain Reseller Conference, I mean, it was like.
What did it do for you? Because I think it's important for people to hear this. So this was last year, not this year's. This was last year's, right? This was their first attempt. Paul and Travis, I'm trying to jumble their names. So Paul and Travis put this on, right? They had no clue it was going to be an incredible success, and it was incredible, right? Mm-hmm. This year it was even better, but they did something. They connected with people. They connected a whole bunch of people in ways that, I mean, I think this is an important story. So you came out of the closet of being a competitive, hey, this is my business, my secrets. Nobody's going to help me. I know better than everyone. I'm experienced. I'm not looking for. And you stepped out. You stepped. Yes. And it was it almost in faith? Like you stepped out because of your relationship with Rye. You were like, okay, I'll give this a shot.
And what I basically told her, you know, you're coming with me because I was. I'm not good at. I'm great at. Giving the benefit of why somebody needs to do business with me or set up a business relationship, because I'm very factual and I always have a well-prepared presentation. But I'm not really good at like networking and making like small talk.
Okay.
It's one of those things to where just the way that I kind of grew up, I don't have a lot of social skills. Okay. That's where I lack a lot of times.
Well, it hurts to admit, too. Again, as a guy, you're supposed to be everything, right? I mean, let's face it.
And, you know, just what when I went there, I sat next to a couple of guys, and then everybody kept introducing themselves to me. And I have to admit that I was cagey and didn't really tell people, you know, what level seller I was, because I just – you know, I don't know why, but I just didn't, wasn't that I wasn't being honest, but I wasn't forthcoming with everything.
Well, let me say why, because in the movie prop business or in the valet business, whatever it is, you're competitive. You got to keep your stuff close, right? You keep your stuff close to your vest, right? Nobody, you're going to kill the other guy. That's your goal, right? I mean, you're ready to kill him.
Exactly. Like I tell people, I don't say it because it's a bad thing, but I definitely have a megalomaniac type personality. When I focus my effort on doing something, I want to become the best at doing it.
But here in this world, now you come into this world where it's like, wait, You mean you can't sell every can of tuna fish? You can't sell every pair of socks, yeah. right? I mean, a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true, right? You can't personally, there's not a, you don't have access to enough money, enough ability, enough time, enough people to cover the world in what this e-commerce business has grown. So was that like an epiphany for you? Like, wait, you mean I can actually be friends with somebody else and they could sell the same thing as me?
More than you would ever know. It was one of those situations to where I met guys like, you know, and I was in a couple of the rooms because I'd been kind of leading up and investigating and being more involved in the Facebook stuff. And, you know, I met guys like Tyler Nelson,
great guy.
Frankie Wells, which is
Love
one of my
Frankie.
Really, really good friends.
I was with them yesterday. Love him.
Yeah. Frankie's my boy. We were actually just talking, chatting before this. Michael Good, Brian Smith, all these guys.
They're great guys.
To get to the point of my story, I ended up when I got out of the movie prop business, I kind of sat back and I'm a huge fan of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and kind of follow his advice to where I'm trying to do for my life now. Because I want to have the value of being a great father. Mm. I want to have the everything. So I said I was going to take a year off. I sold my business or the business. I got out of the business in November, and that was Q4. I told my wife, I was like, "This is impossible." So Dave Matthews and I started a mastermind of people that we. We based it on our experiences with dealing with those people and their, just their character.
And they're dealing with you, right? So you're watching from afar. And this is important for people to realize this. Somebody said this yesterday to us, is that people are watching the way you are. And somebody at one time talked to me and they're like, "Steve, I just can't get people to respond to me, or why do you get along with so many people?" I said, "Because I want to be nice to them." You know what I mean? People are watching. And I think it's important what you just said. You and Dave were particular in who you invited into your group because of the way they treated you or others. That's so important to hear that. People are watching. That's good.
It really was. Yeah, I mean, it's, the next stage of my career and everything that I wanted to do was have an impact on other people's lives. Mm. And, I've done very well for myself. And I can't sit here and say, that I don't still try to do well for myself. But it's one of those things, once I realized that if I could put together a group of people that, A, weren't just trying to take something from the group, and B, were we could all work together to make sure that we improved each other. Because each of us, I mean, when I say we have guys that are small sellers all the way up to, obviously Dave Matthews is a huge seller. We got a... Michael Kelly is part of our group. Got some huge sellers, but we've also got guys that are literally one man operations that aren't as public as others. And I picked them personally based upon the fact that I saw what they were trying to do, and I knew that I would be willing to do whatever it took to help them get there.
So you were going to sow into them, and you reap the benefit with no expectation, right? I mean, you're sowing into them with no expectation.
There's no money involved. If they have any questions, they come to me, or anybody in the group. I've got Tyler Nelson, Matt Colvin. I mean, it's just everybody has a different level of expertise. And when I say I've taken more from them than I think I've given them, it's because of it's more personal, more for me. It's more like an emotional thing of how I've watched them grow, or I gotta say I've pushed them a lot too. It's Matt Colvin had an exceptional sales day one day and sent me a message telling me about his sales, and I said, "Well, don't get too happy because it all starts over tomorrow."
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I coach people. I want to show people how to have long-term success in this business.
Well, let me say this: is it fair that your life and your business are completely intertwined? And I don't mean it from a negative point of view. I mean it from a positive point of view, meaning that you're not dreading to go to work today, were you?
No, I don't go to work.
Right. But so here's where I was going, though. So I'm just saying where they, yeah. I think that your personal life, when you hit flow, that state where, yeah. you know, things are just rocking and rolling, your life and your business kind of become one, but not in the negative way that I always tell people. I was always on call 7 days a week, 24/7. I'd get called back from vacations for a crisis, right? Whatever it was. I don't worry about that stuff. If my internet's down or whatever, okay, we'll just go somewhere. We'll just roll with it, right? It's just such a different point of view. And it sounds to me you're there and you're trying to help these other guys get there too, because if they get a taste of that, I mean, because that's ultimate bliss almost, right? Where, you know, neither one's dragging the other one down.
It's a mutually beneficial relationship. Mm. You either have a parasitic relationship or a beneficial relationship. It's like I tell people all the time, I study psychopathy a lot because it's something I'm interested in. But there's only two type of cons, a fixed con or a broken con. And this is the way that I was actually reading this book about illustrious salespeople that ran Ponzi schemes and things like that. But a fixed con is when both parties make out with a benefit, with a feeling good about it. And a broken con is when only one party makes out. And, you know, it's obviously what I want to do and what I was trying to create was an atmosphere and a climate that everybody felt like they were benefiting. And, you know, it's one of those things to where everybody in the group are rock stars because we have a different opinion. We might not always agree, but we listen to each other. And I know I can say personally that I have seen
growth,
more growth in the way I think than I have benefited from the leads or anything like that, which are all great too. Mm. But it's without, like I tell people all the time, it's a little joke, but it's the truth. Without collaboration, you'll never expand your bank account.
Mm. I think it's so smart. And I think it's, you got to put into it to get out of it, but you don't go into it expecting anything from it. It will come to you as you put it into it. So, all right, let's do this.
Exactly.
I want to take a break. I want to come back and talk about how the heck you get to 17 sales channels, not just 7, not just 11, 17. We'll be right back. It's a smart guy. A lot of experience, a lot of great information. I hope you're getting something from him that you could apply in your business. Again, I think it's that consistency. And I like the other thing is he's almost like a checklist by adding a new platform. So master one, get really good at it, and then build a checklist of the things you need to do and then just replicate it, because they do get easier because there's some nuances to the words or they have their own little lingo. Once you figure that out, boom, you can just process. Add on, process. Great, great interview. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with Adam Black, who, you know, really, you know, that first segment, Adam, you know, I think is so important for people to hear because they just think that you just get up and go and kill it every single day and put your head down and do the hardest work you can from the second you get up until the second you go to bed and life is easy, right? It's not, because even when you get there and you have incredible success, there's something missing, right? I mean, is that fair?
Absolutely.
And you figured it out and you're working on it. Man, dude, I appreciate that so much because me too, personally. And as a guy, it's hard to admit it. It's hard to admit it because you see so many, and in our world, there's so many strong figures that seem to have it figured out. You sit back and you say to yourself, my God, look at that guy, man. He's just got it all together. And, you know, you've heard my show where I'm talking to incredibly successful people who are saying, no, I don't have it all together, Steve. I'm figuring it out too. Yeah. I'm working at it. I'm intentionally working at it. I use that intentional life all the time. Ooh, love it. All right. So let's talk about scaling a business. How long have you been selling on Amazon?
Amazon in some capacity since 2003.
Okay. So a long, long time. But yes. A volume, a scale, what would you say? How long has it been?
I was in FBA since the start.
But, so that's 2009.
At a scale since, I guess, 2006.
Okay, so you've scaled. So 11 years it's taken you to get to this level. And it's been easy the whole time, right? No big deal, just simple.
Not necessarily.
Where did you start? Which platform did you start on?
I started selling stuff on the internet when I was 14 years old on an internet service called Prodigy.
Oh, God, I remember that.
I was selling on message boards. I would go hang out at a small mom and pop computer repair place. And I guess the the guy that ran it was probably so sick of this twerp asking him questions that he was like, "Hey, if you want to go take apart these out of service computers, you can just have the components." So I've always loved computers. I've always just been kind of interested in it. Like I'm stealing something from Gary Vee now, but like I said, the first time I ever heard a modem connect to the internet became a smaller place, and that just a switch went off inside of me. And I can honestly say at that point, I knew that I was going to learn how to make money on the internet.
Did you never thought about going to get a big corporate job or any of that kind of jazz? That wasn't going to be your thing?
I mean, school was always a means to an end for me. But when I got into college and somebody, I had a professor that was an international business professor. And I said, well, if you know this so well, why aren't you out there making millions of dollars?
That's a tough question.
He took it and smiled and didn't say anything. And then I found out about a week and a half later that he had retired at 29 and sold his business for $40 million and gone back to school to be a professor.
Oh, whoa. Well, that's not what you expected, because you're thinking that this dude failed, couldn't make it in the world, right? If you can't make it, teach, right? That's what they usually say, or something like that, right?
Those that can't teach.
Teach, right.
But I had to go back to him and apologize. And, it's one of those things where we were real close. Unfortunately, he passed away, but he changed my whole mindset of how I looked at business, how I looked at education, how I looked at everything. I mean, I was, by the time I was 19 years old, I was that guy on eBay in the beginning, where when I tell people the good old days, it's just, you can't even imagine it. It's hard for me to even fully explain how much money was there off of, yes, I had two apartments, one I lived in and one I worked out of. Because it just became too much. I knew that to be able to run it properly and to be able to understand how to do it on the scale that I really wanted to, I had to get the education side of it down to teach myself how to not make mistakes, more than to teach me how to propel myself. And understanding things like business law, understanding things like accounting, which I hate accounting. I know that you're an accountant by trade, but
I'm retired. Reformed accountant.
Like I tell people, the first expensive hire I ever made was a in-house accountant, just because I am it makes me sleepy.
Yeah, but you know what? If you recognize that, that's a good thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where I don't like bookkeeping, for example. I hate bookkeeping. So you hire a bookkeeper, right? And they do it. I don't even do my own payroll. Yeah. So that's smart. As a matter of fact, I'm retired. And I got a contact the other day so I had two moments of knowing that I was retired. One was we were in New York for the Amazon show, and on our way up, we're like, "Hey, you want to stay an extra day?" I'm like, "Sure." I would normally race back to go to work, right? And then the second one was a company contacted me, "Steve, we know you. We want you to come and be the controller for our internet company," and blah, blah. I'm like, "No, sorry. My three grandkids are more important. Sorry, but thank you. Appreciate it. Pass." So anyway, so back to you, and you're recognizing that you need to hire people. So when you were scaling at that point at 19 years old and 20 in net, I mean, did you ever think that you would sell $1 million? I mean, did you have that, or did you know it? Some people know it. Okay. So knew it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a confidence, but that's not an ego, right? That's a confidence.
At 19, it was a huge ego.
Oh, then it was an ego.
It was. I mean, I wasn't going to stop until I became the best.
But what was easy about it then?
Well, it was easy because, to be honest with you, I had I spent the time finding the contacts. I took the time of. I could call pretty much any company and they would say yes back then, because there wasn't anybody else asking those questions.
Right.
It's like I tell people, it really, for me, it was because I would always, and this is in any business I've ever done, I walk in and I make guarantees to people. Like, I guarantee you I will do this. If not, I'll give you that money that I didn't make. And well, that
well, I want to stop there because you say the good old days. Now,
yes.
what, 15% of all retail is done on e-commerce, right? About 15%, yes. I think the stat is, and it's about $3 or $4 trillion. And of that 15%, I think I've read that Amazon has 80% of that market. And so you sit back and you say to yourself, if it was easy then, is it easy now when you look at the pool as big as it is? When you step back and say, you know, $3.7 trillion is a lot of money, right? And 15% of that is not much money.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is what I tell people right now.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the baby boomers. You've even got what were they called?
Millennial? No.
I'm trying to scale down. It's people. I read a statistic recently that even people age 72. How many had used computers in the past 6 months? It was really low. It was terribly low.
Mm-hmm.
And it's using my parents, for example. They don't order anything on the internet. They just call me.
Right. My mother's the same way. She's like, would you buy this from Amazon for me? I'm like, yeah, all right. I'll do it. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, same way.
I don't know if it's, I can't tell you why it is. I mean, obviously my parents understand that I'm an internet ninja. I mean, I can find deals that nobody else can. That's my gift. But it's one of those things to where they don't want to go through the process because they're scared they'll mess something up or they'll whatever. That's a huge part of our population right now. And if you look at the internet and e-commerce as a whole, the generation coming up are going to be so much more dependent and comfortable using the internet that it's only just begun.
Right. So where I was going with that, before I put my story in there, sorry about that, was
no worries.
That you, back then, it was easy for you because, like you said, the opportunities were everywhere. People just didn't have other options. I would argue that today, it's equally as easy if you're skilled, if you have processes, if you have all those things. But you got to look, you got to step back and look at it in a bigger picture. That's my point. Is that
absolutely.
Fair?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I say that, when I first started selling things on eBay in end of 96, early 97, there were very few people selling brand new golf clubs or golf balls or anything like that. And that's where I kind of started. Actually, I started off selling everything that I owned. Like quite literally, my parents make a joke about it. They say we knew Adam was hooked on selling stuff on the internet when his room was cleaned for the first time. but it's it for me, it was the opportunities. I went from selling golf clubs to buying wrecked Mustangs, classic Mustangs, antique Mustangs,
and parting them out. Were you parting
and
them
parting
out?
Parting them out. Oh, yeah,
I
yeah.
love that business.
I'll have to show you. Some stuff on that, but
send me pictures because I dig it. I think that what you're describing, you could sell the car for $3,000 or you could part it out for $13,000, right?
And exactly, yeah.
When you think that way, right? When you start thinking bigger.
Yeah, and then we started doing what I call restoration parts, meaning we sandblasted the parts, powder coated them, made them show quality. And the big customers that what they really want is they want what's called concourse quality. So they want, the transmission to match everything. It's called a Marty report for Mustangs. And people want to make sure that it's concourse quality when it came off the showroom floor. So when I found that and found that collector market, I mean, it just exploded.
Mm.
I was literally the guy at one point, the most sought after part on eBay, this is even before eBay Motors, was used Mustang parts, and I was the largest seller of used Mustang parts on eBay.
Well, that's cool. I think Greg Purdy was a Mustang part seller, too. I'll have to make sure you meet him, or if you don't know him. I'll be with him next week. I'll mention that to him. So at that point, you were selling on eBay. Only. You moved in. Was Amazon the next place, or did you go somewhere else first?
No, definitely. Amazon was my next, because I was selling at like shows and things like that. I've always been real big into the I tell people I'm better at selling something face to face than I am over the internet, and I'm fantastic at selling the stuff on the internet. It's I enjoy being personable, especially if somebody's going to hand me money. But it's one of those things to where I was doing all these shows, and just in the Mustang parts thing in general, I got kind of tired of being dirty. I got tired of having the whole it was just one part. And like I tell people, I got into Amazon because I enjoy RA. Like, I love it so much. I don't really do it that much anymore, but in the beginning, I loved it. I love going to Borders. Yeah, it's the treasure hunt. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I care more about the pursuit than I do about the money. I'm not a – I live a – people would be surprised at how frugal of a lifestyle that I live, because money isn't my – it's the quest. It's not the money. I like achieving my goals more than I care about the monetary side of things. And when Amazon came into the picture for me, it was just, I have to say, it was easy compared to finding cars, breaking down the cars, shipping large, heavy items, you know, all that kind of thing. Amazon was like, psh, this is the greatest thing ever. And I hit the ground running. And there's very few things in my life that I've ever really just taken to and saw the opportunity. And definitely Amazon was probably top notch, one of them.
Do you think all those things that you had prior in your life, like, fit this world? I mean, like, when you think about, like you say, you had success selling Mustang parts and that kind of jazz, but the parts of it you didn't like, right? That sounds like, or it got old, parts of it. All those little things, though, do you think they defined who you are and kind of put you in like little, I guess I'm thinking about like a lock, you know, when you turn a safe lock to the one thing and it clicks and then something else goes the other way and then it starts to click. And I'm wondering if that's how you got to where you are and why this fits so well for you. All these other little things, you went that way and you're like, oh, I like this. Ooh, stopping there because I don't like that any further. I'm going back towards that. Can you get that visualization, what I'm trying to do?
Yeah, I do, but I never stop doing anything else. What I do is I find somebody that's perfect for running that side, and I go in another pursuit. And that's what I've always done.
You partnering with them in some way? Or are they employees, owners of the business, or how's that work?
I use the term operating partners.
Okay.
And so their focus is on making sure that the revenue stream's there, that the profitability's there. And, you know, everybody that I've ever I did end up getting out of that business because it just honestly was taking too much management of my time, and I had too much more opportunities over here. So I ended up cashed out. But it was, you know, at a very handsome gain. And that gave me the capital to go into a larger pursuit that I was interested in. And that's just kind of what I do. Like I tell people, I play chess. I don't play checkers. And
is it like a bucket list check off? Ooh, got it done, accomplished, moved on. I'm past that. I've gotten what I wanted. I've sated in that endeavor, and now I'm on.
Like I say, I mean, I have no problem training the competition. Like, I mean, it was one of those things to where these guys ultimately knew that they could run their own business. And if I didn't step out of the way, then they were probably just going to go start their own, and I would be left with nothing. So it just made sense to hand over the keys, so to say, because it was the right thing to do, because they had dedicated their time to me and I dedicated my time to training them. And ultimately they were just ready to do it. So it just made sense. I mean, we're still great friends, everything like that. There was no animosity. I was able to monetize the business, show a structure, and I still consult with them on more basis than I ever agreed to, just because I want to see them be successful.
That's cool. You know, I'm thinking about how you get to 17 channels to sell. And I think about, because each one, I mean, there's commonalities, right? You product or process, right? You know, on a higher level. But it's intention. You can't get to that level without intention. Fair?
Oh yeah, fair. You can't get to that level without a little bit of insanity.
Yeah.
As well.
You're herding cats. You are spinning plates, some of them bigger than others, right? When you're, you know, the largest platform you sell on versus the smaller, how different revenue-wise are they? I mean, how extreme difference is there?
Well, like I, there's a, I mean, absolutely extreme. Number one, I don't know if I could, infinity.
You just, say what you're comfortable in saying. I'm not pushing you anyway. Yeah, I'm mean, just, well, I want I people just to get context. The smallest account. All right. Go to the smallest account.
Either probably Brisk Sale or eBid, are probably the lowest.
They're still out right there. Now. eBid's still out there.
Yeah, still out there. I mean, nobody's really on it, but however, you would be surprised at sometimes you will find certain products. And like I tell people, with the way that I do business and the way that I market, it's getting exposure on those products on different markets. And then once they come up organically and through Google searches, I mean, I'm a huge proponent of keywords and AdWords, and you know, I love the science of internet marketing.
And it is a science.
It is a science. Yeah. I mean, it's trust me, anybody ever told you they know absolutely everything about it, I can point out a liar to you really quick. But you know, it's you've got Amazon up here. Then you've got, I mean, I sell, just listing them off, 'cause I do have them down, here.
Go
and,
for it.
Like I say, I sell everything from groceries to, antique Chinese, vases. You know, it's one of those things to where I love antiquities. I love vintage items. I love brand new items. I'm primarily a large scale grocery wholesaler.
Well, can I put you on the spot?
Sure.
And I would love you to just read all 17 right down as fast as you can go.
Okay. I threw out 17. I couldn't count them all, at that question, but let me, I know I'm missing some anyway, but
all right, go for it.
Amazon. I'm also an Amazon pantry. Sell on Amazon UK, Amazon Germany, Amazon Japan, eBay, eBay Wholesale, Jet, Walmart, Sears, Etsy, Shopify, Rakuten, Newegg, Ruby Lane, First Dibs, Bonanza, eBid, Poshmark, Mercari, Micklist, which is a smaller one, Brisk Sale, Gun Broker, Ruby Lane, and then I sell in New Zealand on TradeMe.nz. And we have a marketplace called Crown and Caliber, and then I do live auctions in about 10 states right now.
Okay, I just want people to pause for a second. He said all that. Now think about that. That's like juggling chainsaws, dude. I mean, that really is. I mean, it's got to be incredible. The technology. I mean, you couldn't do all what you're doing without technology, correct?
Absolutely not.
How do you, you know, Gary V's advice, I got to ask him a couple of questions. One of the questions I asked him was about that. And his advice is you got to be on them all, Steve. You got to be a little bit on each one, because when one takes off, you want to be able to be in there and take advantage of it, right? And so you're living that and breathing that. You're living and breathing that. How do you decide, though, whether to add another one? I mean, are you at enough? Is enough enough now? Or you know, if somebody came to you with six more and said, hey, come on, Adam, we want you in Mexico. Why aren't you in Mexico or South America? Well, come on.
We are headed there, but I have, like I say, in all these other international Amazon markets, I have managing partners.
Okay.
I've been lucky enough to meet people from around the world and have friends that live in these places that they literally – run the business from that side.
Okay.
I get exclusive wholesale opportunities that a lot of times I get these deals because I promise not to sell in the U.S.
And so you're able then to be a distributor in essence and sending stuff to, let's just say, UK. If I'm your partner in UK, I'm buying it from you at a VIG, right? At a little bit of a premium. And
yes.
Therefore you make a percentage, but you get to count it into your buying. So when you go and commit to Procter & Gamble, right? I'm looking at something. You go and commit to Procter & Gamble, hey, I'll take, you know, $500,000 because you know you're going to be selling it to me a piece and you're going to sell to him a piece and plus your own, right? I mean, that's kind of the concept.
That there is there's an equity buy-in for them at this point. But for the most part, when it first started, they would get a percentage of the business. And what we've done is we've paid back the principal of the startup cost. And once they go, once they get to that point of the principal is paid off, we go full partnership.
Would you do it again, looking where you're at now, as you're sitting here living and breathing? I mean, you got a lot of responsibility. You're 37. You got a lot of responsibility. And you're working on your head. You're working on your health. You're working on your diet. your relationships. The responsibility, though, is still there. It sounds pretty incredible, and you're trying to scale some of that back. Would you do it all over again?
Absolutely.
No regrets.
No regrets. The only regrets I have are not looking at opportunities with a more clear vision. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not just some golden goose that everything works out for.
Right. Telling me the good news, right? You're not saying Steve.
I tell people all the time, I have the financial and physical scars to prove my wisdom.
Right. Right.
You know, we had the fidget spinners are out now. We had those on the board, on our PL board, probably a year and a half ago. I never sell stuff the cheapest, and I like to have a certain price point for my PL products. But the volume of the fidget spinners that we could have sold is, but you know, there again, they're, I call the fidget spinners the new garlic press.
Right,
so.
Right, right. Nobody's selling them now. Now, yeah, I think I saw them 10 for a dollar or something like that. And they were like, God, what am I going to do with them? Well, I'm sitting back and I'm just taking it all in, and I'm thinking about, where do you go from here? I mean, when you sit back, I mean, because it sounds like to me that you want a complete life. Right, you want to complete that part of your life, like you said. You got your dad, you got kids, those are more important responsibilities in the business. Where do you go from here? Because it's mind blowing to me, and is it probably anybody listening? They're like, oh my God, he's doing millions of dollars. He's on all these platforms. He could just add another platform, but then it's just another, you know, another thing. How do you get somewhere?
Well, to be honest with you, right now, it's funny you asked that, which I probably knew you were going to, but, you know, I sat down and kind of made an inventory of what I want to do. You know, I'm 37 years old. I have the opportunity to do whatever I want. And, for me, the only job I care to be truly successful at, or the jobs I should say, are being a good, son, being a good brother, being a good, husband, and being, you know, an excellent dad. It's one of those things to where, when I grew up, I didn't, my father, was, you know, worked his tail off for our family, but wasn't able to be there a lot of times. And, for me, I just sat back and said, you know, I remember how that affected me growing up. And now, I want to make sure that I do that. And so for me,
so that would be one of those regrets that you could have, because you already said you didn't have any regrets. You want to prevent a regret. And dude, let me tell you, that's important. What you're describing, the rest of that stuff, business stuff, that's all means nothing when it comes to those kids and your spouse. I mean, I love it. Ooh, give me the chills.
I'm lucky enough to where I do, like I said, live a very frugal lifestyle. And I don't have a lot of demands. I mean, I'm not trying to go out and buy, you know, a giant mansion and trying to. I mean, I have a very nice house. I mean, I can't say that I don't have certain things that other people would be envious of. But I mean, like I tell people all the time, they're like, Adam, what do you drive? I say a 2003 Toyota Tacoma truck that I bought when brand new out of college. You know, I mean, I could drive pretty much anything, but I drive a truck because it's paid for. I understand the value of money and understand the value of me being able to place those funds into something else. And, you know, I'm an active investor. I like real estate. You know, it's certain things that I'd rather obtain to be able to not only, have the peace of mind, but also be able to, you know, do positive things, if I find them interesting. I mean, being able to, you know, do philanthropy.
Are you able to give back? Are you able to give back?
Yeah. By all means. My wife is a special ed teacher. My mom is a retired special ed teacher. So I donate money to the Special Olympics if they're can't do certain things. I mean, I don't like talking about a lot of the stuff that I do in that capacity, but it's but if I see someone that I know that their goals and intentions are right and they need help, We do everything we can to make sure they get it.
That's awesome.
And I'm part of a group also of very, very wealthy people that if I find a charity that is in need or that I approve from, as long as I present everything to them properly, when I say deep pockets, one of the investors may have started a home improvement company.
And you're in the South, so we'll leave it at that.
Yes. Yeah.
So when you sit back and you think about, I'm going back to the beginning of the discussion. Did you ever think that you would be at this level, at this place, this quickly? Because you're only 37. I mean, I know it's 20 years later or whatever it is, but still, you're a young man by anyone else's stretch. At least in my age group. Did you have that thought? Now, I mean, has it sunk in?
It's one of those things to where when I was a child, I've always been a merchant. I'm from South Alabama. So like my family, they were farmers, but they were also merchants. My grandfather had a store. He also was the guy that fixed everyone's sewing machines. So I learned at a young age how to not only be part of a community and help people, but also how to build a skill set that would help you, and down there it's a different way of living. And I'm very happy that I don't live in South Alabama and that my father was able to move us to Atlanta, but it's one of those things that taught me the foundation of what I've taken for the rest of my life. And it's important for me to understand that even since I was a small child, I had that instilled in me, that you take care of yourself and you're self-sufficient. Because growing up on a farm, my family still to this day, a large part of them are self-sufficient, meaning they grow their own food. Everything is there. And that's important for me. That's, I like being self-sufficient, whether it's making my own money or making my own decisions. It's just always something that's been instilled in me. So I never really looked at a corporate job as an option for me, because my dad was an executive with Georgia Pacific, and that just kind of I saw what it took for him to operate at that level. And, I just never really felt compelled to do that. I mean, I could. I mean, but it's one of those things to where I just like I like everything being on my shoulders. And I guess I'm trying to think of the proper way to say what I think. I think having to have the lifestyle and have the freedom and to be able to be there for my family, this is the only place I can be.
You can't cage up certain people. I think one of those guys that there's no way you'd make it in a cubicle. No, but there's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with the guy that is making it in the cubicle, because that's his way. That's the way he's wired. So, go ahead. I don't know if you want to build on that, because it really is powerful. I
anybody that knows me well knows that I'm completely unemployable. I wouldn't know what to do if I even had a boss. I mean, I worked at a shoe store and I taught karate for a short period of time. But for me, like having an actual boss, I just don't, even having a time to be at work, I don't think I could ever do that.
Wow. Well, you blew my mind. I love the story of growing from, small to scaled large and now coming back. I love the idea. I think this is very powerful. That yes, you're on multiple channels, but you're not literally running them day to day, piece by piece, because that's overwhelming and that's too much responsibility. But those relationships take time, and you got to put a lot into those relationships, and I think that that's very smart. So I'm thinking about people that are stuck. I always say this. I was in New York at that Amazon event, and I was talking with somebody and you always talk about people getting stuck at 30,000. That's exactly where I am. Because I always say, I think it's relatively easy to sell, 350 to 500,000 by yourself. I think you can get there with work. And don't get me wrong, it's not easy, but it's work. It's doable. But getting past there, you have to have help and you have to put processes in place. So you're at that place now where you're trying to scale back your effort in the business. Maybe that's a good way to say it.
I'm actually scaling back a lot of the business itself too, because what we want to do is become more lean and more efficient and more profitable. Because right now we are operating and doing things, but sometimes we're dedicating inventory to the wrong marketplace.
Right. And that's got to be fascinating to know, because you have so many options for it. Right. And it probably moves depending on the wind, right? I mean, I'm sure there are lots of reasons.
There are. Yeah. And it's, you know, obviously when you look at metrics, when you look at the, like I tell anybody, if you think about going into a new marketplace, any of these that I've listed, look up the Alexa rating. Look at how much, where they rank, how many people are going there. If you don't understand the demographics of your customer, the buying habits of your customer, everything. I mean, when I say the most, my gift and what I have is because I studied it so much, is understanding when I look at a product, I can pretty much tell you who's going to buy it. And then I pick the platform to go towards.
And that's very smart. And that's new thinking for you.
No, that's kind of what I've always done. It's just one of those things where once I understood demographics and advertising and marketing in general, I understood how to reach target markets.
Well, then does that mean that you scaled up so large you lost track of that? Because you just said before that you're...
I just try to be everywhere at all times.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
You know, that is that going back to that megalomaniac type mentality.
Okay.
To where it's, if you're not there, you're not going to get anything.
Right. Right.
You know, that's right. That is still my mentality.
100% of nothing is nothing still, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Well, then let's do this. Let's close with this. I want you to offer value. But I want to think about that seller that's at that $350,000 to $500,000. As you said, you got a bunch of those kind of people in your groups that you're in, that you give advice to, and they're looking at you like, wait, maybe I want to be you. And you're probably saying, dudes, you don't want this responsibility. Yeah. Be more thoughtful than where I'm at right now, because I want to scale back too. Because once you have it, you're like, okay, this isn't what I want, sounds like. And so help the listener get past that point. What is it, like one or two or three things they could do to get there? Do you know where I'm going?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things, like I tell everybody, because I do spend a lot of time talking with other people, and I get a lot of people asking me questions, and I tell them the same thing. Write down your goals. If you're at, don't get me wrong, I mean, if you're at 30,000, 30,000 to 100,000 is a big jump. It changes everything. And then going from 100,000 to 300,000, it changes way more. And then going from 300,000 to 1,000,000 is relatively easy, because you put those things in place and you have the discipline and your model, and you understand the process that it takes to go achieve new inventory. But what I tell every single person is write down your goals and give yourself a realistic time frame to achieve them. Become part of a mastermind. Put yourself out there, become vulnerable, answer other people's questions, ask people questions, do anything you can. I love the fact that with our mastermind, we have accountability partners. If somebody tells me they want to get somewhere, I make sure that they're on track to get there. It's that's the one thing that I think helps me and helps other people more than anything, is having somebody to be accountable to.
And that relationship, you don't just get, you have to go sow into others. As Gary would say, give, 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 and then you get the right to ask, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love the way you also described when you got people coming in your group, you're not looking for somebody who just wants to come in the group and take. They're also able to give, regardless of the size of their business. Everybody has something to contribute. I think we're all the way back to the beginning of discussion, and I think that that's so important. Dude, this is awesome. Man, I wish you nothing but success. How can I get... if someone has more questions, what's the best way to follow up with you?
Well, of course, Facebook, Adam Black. You'll see me in the groups with everybody else. I'm sure we'll have tons of mutual friends.
Oh, God, yeah.
I will also be speaking at the Midwest Ecom Conference.
Midwest Ecom. And where is that's that's coming up?
It's in Minneapolis.
Minneapolis.
You know, you just put me on the spot, Stephen. It's the... I believe the 20th and 21st is Midwest Ecom.
All right, I will get it, the right dates in there for it, and yeah. You're speaking there, so this is a great opportunity to come and meet. And I tell people this, and this is fair, Adam, tell me if I'm correct. When somebody comes to those events and people are like, oh, I want to, you know, go meet this person, I'm like, go introduce you, because you love meeting people especially if they got something from something you did or helped them with, right? That's very rewarding. Because sometimes you feel absolutely. It's uncomfortable. You know, it's just, I wish somebody would come up to me and say, hey, I'm Bob. And Steve, I listen to your podcast. Man, it's awesome to me. That's great. And I'm always like, hey, just reach out if I can help you. That's the same thing. So if you're thinking about going to this and you want to meet Adam, please go up and meet him. Please go up and introduce yourself and say, hey, I heard you. I'm just wanted to meet you. Because to me, that's so important. And then you have a face and you can connect deeper relationship. All right. So I'm going to put the Facebook contact.
Yes.
And I'll put the information for Midwest Ecom. Go ahead. Do you want to finish one more?
Well, I was just going to say, anybody that wants to go, I know they can use the code Chris Green, his capital on the C, capital on the G, and or Rockstars with a capital R, and then get $50 off their tickets.
Oh, cool.
Just if anybody's interested in going. Anybody can reach out to me with any questions. I get a lot of them, but I do try to stay diligent on answering and please keep in mind also I do consulting, so any development that you would like to go through, we can offer that to you, but all
but he charges for it, sounds like.
Yeah, all questions are not free. Yes.
Okay, well, that's fair. You know what, I mean, I'd rather people know that up front, you know, and that they could work out with you, but I'll put the contact here. That's awesome, dude. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Can't wait to see you again.
Absolutely, Stephen, my pleasure. Thank you.
You know, the other thing I liked about this interview was the way he described about getting together with a group of like-minded people that he and others connected with, that kind of vetted them. And that's so important. You want to make sure that you have consistent goals. They don't all have to be the same sellers, same size seller, if you heard that. But that's what's so cool, because some of the smaller sellers are going to offer you ideas that you're too close to. You can't see it. You're way too close. You've been doing it the same way forever. And somebody with this set of fresh eyes who knows no better just tries it and says, oh, what about this? And you'll be like, oh. And so that's the opportunity. And so I hope you take this advice. Listen to a great skilled seller selling on multiple platforms, many millions of dollars for a long period of time. Look at what you can grow into. ecommercemomentum.com, ecommercemomentum.com, Instagram, ecommercemomentum.com, or e-commerce momentum, Twitter, Facebook, all the regulars. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce momentum podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.